welcome to Sunday Life, a radio and podcast program of Life Church in Boston. You can find us on the web at lifechurchboston.org. God's Word is taking off from where you are right now and rising to build you up on the way to your destiny. Let's climb on board.
Well, saints, it's time for the Word from our... our sister and our friend, Pastor Eva Clark. She's going to bring the word for us today. Amen?
Amen. God is good, isn't he?
Yes, he is.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's just bow our heads this morning as we prepare to look at God's Word. Father, we just thank you once again for the opportunity to come not only into your house, Lord, but into your presence and to learn of you, to hear a word from you. God, we're eager to hear all that you want to say to us. Lord, we are thirsty for you. So just have your way in us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I trust that you have the word before you this morning. We have our scripture sheets, or you can look in your Bible, of course. And I'm going to ask you just to turn with me to the book of Luke. And we're looking at Luke, the 11th chapter. And we're going to be reading verses 1 through 13. Luke chapter 11, verses 1 through 13. And it reads, "One day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, 'Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples.' He said to them, 'When you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation.' Then he said to them, 'Suppose one of you has a friend, and he goes to him at midnight and says, Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. Then the one inside answers, 'Don't bother me. The door is already locked and my children are with me in bed. I can't get up and give you anything.' I tell you, though he will not get up and give him the bread because he is his friend, yet because of the man's boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him. Amen. Amen. Thank God for his word this morning. So we're entering here in a story where Jesus has just finished praying, and we see his disciples coming to him. You know, Jesus modeled for us prayer. We see Jesus getting up early in the morning. The scriptures tell us that Jesus, early in the morning, while it was still dark, he got up, he left the house, and he went off to a solitary place where he prayed. So Jesus got up early. He set the priority of prayer. He got up and he went to a solitary place where he prayed. And we see him not only praying alone in a solitary place, but we see him praying where his disciples can witness him praying and can ask some questions of him, Lord, teach us how to pray. You know, God's been speaking to me about this whole matter of prayer. God's been speaking to me about this whole matter of spending more time in his presence. Perhaps he's speaking to you as well, wooing you, calling you, spend more time with me. Come into my presence. Learn of me. Bask in my presence. Come to me. Spend more time in my presence. Because there are things that I want to say to you. There are ways that I want to instruct you. There are ways that I want to encourage you and build you up. And you need to be in my presence to experience that. Jesus got up early in the morning while it was still dark, while it was still quiet, while other people were sleeping. Maybe there's a time for you that you can carve out. There's no distractions. Nothing pulling at you, nothing to dissuade you, nothing to distract you, nothing to discourage you, but time when everyone else is sleeping, time when everything else is quiet, and you can steal away, you can slip away and spend that time with him. Carve out that time for prayer. He wants to speak to us this morning. So you see the disciples, and they see Jesus praying, and they said, you know what? John taught his disciples, Jesus, can you teach us how to pray? Show us how to pray. Because it doesn't make sense to pray and not pray effectively. Amen. It doesn't make sense to pray and waste time. It doesn't make sense to pray and not be effectual in your prayer. Lord, we want to get our prayers through. We want our prayers to make a difference. We want our prayers to be successful. God, teach us how to pray. It's a very good question. Disciples asked the Lord, Lord, teach us how to pray. What do we do? How do we approach this thing? What do we do, God? So what does he say? Jesus says, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name. Father, hallowed be your name. Start out with Lord, hallowed be your name. God, you're holy. What does it mean? Lord, you are revered. God, you are set apart. Lord, there's no one else like you. You know, it's important to know who you're talking to when you pray. Have you ever been in a situation, maybe you as a parent, or maybe you witnessed this with someone else, and you saw a child and a parent sort of interacting, and the way that the child approached the parent, there was just something a little bit amiss, because the way the child approached the parent, the child clearly was not recognizing the fact that they were a child, and here was the parent. So because they didn't come with the right tone, because they didn't come with the right attitude, because they didn't come demonstrating the right level of respect, they might have heard something like, who do you think you're talking to? Who do you think you're talking to? Excuse me? You don't want to hear that. Excuse me? When you're a child and a parent responds in that way to something that you have said, because clearly you didn't come correct. You didn't come right. You didn't come demonstrating the level of respect and awe of them as the parent. How much more do we need to recognize who our Father is when we come before him in prayer. We need to understand he's holy. He's set apart. There's nobody else like God. He's revered. He's awesome. He's the creator of all things. He's the first and the last. He's eternal. No one like him. Nothing can compare. Incomparable God. And see, when we get to that mindset, it helps us to approach the Lord in the right way. That doesn't mean we come in fear and trembling. No, just as a child can come before a parent, knowing that the parent is very loving, the parent is very generous, the parent is very kind, the parent is very concerned, the parent wants to meet the needs, but yet you can come with a level of expectation and reverence for the parent. So God, I'm acknowledging who you are right off the bat, because that helps us to pray in faith. It helps us to pray in faith when we understand, Lord, you're holy, you're set apart. Hallowed be your name, Father. The disciples said, Jesus teaches to pray. He said, Lord, first of all, you say, Lord, Father, hallowed be your name. Then thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom come. Lord, it's all about you and your kingdom.
Yes.
It's all about what you want. It's all about what you want to see accomplished. You see, God is partnering with us as his children. We're in cahoots with God.
Yes.
We're in cahoots with God. He's got this whole plan. And it depends on us, his children, to see that plan fulfilled. You ever depend on other people to get a job done? There's a big job. And that demonstrates a lot of confidence in the people that you're working with when you've got to delegate things to them to get the job done. And see, God's delegating to each of us. He's got a big job that needs to get done in this world. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's what we're looking for, Lord. Your will be done. We're about what you want to see accomplished. So, Lord, what are the marching orders? Lord, what's the plan? You see, when we come before him in prayer, that needs to be our attitude and our desire. That needs to be our request. Lord, your kingdom come. Lord, your will be done, not mine. Because how many of you know that if our will got done all the time, the world would be a pretty messed up place? Even more so than it's messed up now. If every whim, if every desire, if every thought came to fruition, we'd be in trouble. See, it's not our will. It's not about what we want. It's what God wants to see accomplished through us, with us, in partnership with us. It's an exciting adventure. But Lord, your kingdom come. What you want to see done, Lord, that's what I want to see occur in the earth. And Lord, I'm prepared. I'm willing. I'm available to you to be your instrument. You see, there's a level of availability that we need to demonstrate to the Lord. He doesn't force us to do stuff. We've got to be willing participants in his plan. We've got to be willing to submit ourselves to his direction and his call. Lord, I'm available. Use me. Lord, I'm available. If you want me to go, I'll go. If you want to use me in that way, even if I don't see myself, God, in that light, whatever you say goes. See, God will blow your mind sometimes. He'll have you in situations and circumstances in front of people you never expected to be in front of, talking about things you never expected to be talking about, engaged in endeavors you never saw yourself engaged in. Me? You got to be kidding. But yes, Lord, if that's what your will is, I'm prepared to do it. God, your will be done. Because it's not about me. You will strengthen me, God. If you call me, you'll equip me to do it. God doesn't call without equipping. If he calls you, he will give you what you need to do what he's called you to do. So, Lord, your kingdom come. We've got to get away from just the selfishness in prayer. Isn't that just an easy thing to do, to spend all your time praying about things that you want? Isn't that sort of the default mode? Lord, I want this. Lord, I want that. Lord, I need this. Lord, I need that. Lord, could you take care of this situation, that situation? All about what I want. But you see how we haven't even gotten there yet? Right off the bat, hallowed be your name. Right off the bat, your kingdom come. We haven't even gotten to all about me. You see, we got to submit ourselves to the Lord's will. We're understanding and recognizing who he is. He's awesome. Lord, we want to do what you say to do. We want to see your will accomplished. Thy will be done, thy kingdom come. Hallelujah. And he says, you know, Lord, give us each day our daily bread. We're reminded of the experience that the Israelites had when they came out of Egypt. Some of you may recall that the Israelites, they came out of Egypt and they spent some time in a desert place. They spent some time pretty uncomfortable. They spent some time grumbling and complaining, thinking back about some of the comforts of slavery. And they were grumbling, Lord, what are we going to eat? And you know, God said to them, you know, I'm going to send quail and I'm going to send manna. Let's just turn to this. Exodus chapter 16. Let's just read this passage in Exodus chapter 16. And we're reading beginning in verse 12. Or verse 11. The Lord said to Moses, I have heard the grumbling of the Israelites. Tell them at twilight you will eat meat, and in the morning you will be filled with bread. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God. That evening quail came and covered the camp, and in the morning there was a layer of dew around the camp. When the dew was gone, thin flakes like frost on the ground appeared on the desert floor. When the Israelites saw it, they said to each other, what is it? For they did not know what it was. Moses said to them, it is the bread the Lord has given you to eat. This is what the Lord has commanded. Each one is to gather as much as he needs. Take an omer for each person you have in your tent. The Israelites did as they were told. Some gathered much, some little. And when they measured it by the omer, he who gathered much did not have too much, and he who gathered little did not have too little. Each one gathered as much as he needed. Then Moses said to them, no one is to keep any of it until morning. However, some of them paid no attention to Moses. They kept part of it until morning, but it was full of maggots and began to smell. So Moses was angry with them. Give us each day our daily bread. You see, just as the Israelites had to go and gather manna day by day by day, And they gathered as much as they needed. See, God wants to provide for us each day what we need for that day. That's the importance of going to him in prayer and saying, Lord, give us today our daily bread. Give us today what we need for today. What I gathered yesterday is not going to carry me through today. I can't gather enough yesterday to carry me through day by day by day without coming back to you again, O Lord, to ask you for what I need for today. Because my challenges today are not the same challenges I faced yesterday. Every day there's a new challenge. Every day there's a new situation. Every day there's something that occurs that I need your grace for, O God. Give me today my daily bread. And God promises to provide it. Whatever it is that you need, whether it's a little or whether it's a lot. Some of you have had that experience. There are days when you're feeling pretty good. We always need the Lord, but there are days when we're feeling pretty good, we're feeling pretty strong, we're feeling pretty much on top of things, and we're just going about our merry way, we'll say our prayer, but there are other days when you are desperately in need. Lord, I need your bread. Lord, I need your sustenance. Lord, I need for you to sustain me. There are days when you're praying constantly, day in, day out, from sun up to sundown. You're taking lunch breaks, you're spending it in prayer. You're taking your coffee break, spending it in prayer, because you need the bread from God desperately for that day. And God promises to provide it to us. But Lord, give me today what I need from you. I may not know what it is that I need. You see, with the manna, they had never seen manna before. So they said, what is it? When it fell to the ground, what is that? We asked God for bread. What is that? And Moses said, that's the bread. Go on, gather it up. That's it. That's the bread. That's what God's giving you to eat. Sometimes what God gives us is not what we're expecting. Sometimes it is completely different, but he knows exactly what it is that we need. What we may have been asking for may actually be to our detriment, and we don't realize it. But God knows what we need for today. And it gives us joy and gives us peace. As a parent, we can exercise wisdom for our children, and God exercises wisdom on our behalf. I know just a week or so ago, some of you know we went to the fair, the Topsfield Fair, with our children, with our grandchildren, and we spent the afternoon looking at the animals and having a good time eating food. And we went all throughout the park, saw the big pumpkin, over 1,000 pounds, petted animals. But as the day wore on and it started to get a little bit cold, those of you who are familiar with the weather here in Boston, you know it starts to get a little bit cold come October. As soon as that sun goes down, it starts to get a little bit chilly. And by the time the sun was starting to go down and we were beginning to wrap things up, there was one thing that we hadn't yet done with our little grandchildren. And that was go on any rides. We hadn't gone on a single ride in all of Topsfield Fair. And there was a little kiddie land with the merry-go-rounds and all these things that were so appealing. But as it got cold, and the little ones were asking, are we going to go on some rides? I want to go on rides. Their parents said, you know, it's getting cold. We really need to get going. We spent a long day here at the park. It's not good for us to spend more time going on those rides. It's too cold for us to go on rides right now. Well, needless to say, the grandchildren were not thrilled with that answer, that we're not going on any rides. And the eldest started to get a little bit upset. Got a little bit upset at the fact that she was not going on any rides. I haven't gone on a ride yet. She's about to say, I haven't gone on any rides. And of course, me as a grandmother, I felt bad for her, but the parents were right. It was too cold to go on a ride. Well, the children were all in strollers. Makes sense. You have little ones, toddlers, take them in a stroller. Any place you got to go, and you're going to be walking a long distance. And we were going along in the strollers and headed to the parking lot. And Ricky, who's the eldest granddaughter's father, said, Soraya, do you want to go on a ride? And she said, yeah. So he took her stroller, he reared it back like a wheelie. He went running down the parking lot, spun her around, wheeled her back real fast. And she started laughing and just enjoying herself so much. And the other children, all the other parents got involved. Woo, here we go. Woo, hop a wheelie, go all the way back, spin around. They had more fun in a stroller in the parking lot than they could have had on the merry-go-round on two or three rides combined. And we did all that on our way back to our van, on the way back to the cars, to go home. Didn't spend any time out there in the cold weather, in the draft, exposing kids to getting colds and whatnot. See, God knows what we need. And even though we may say, I want this thing in particular, God sometimes gives us something else that's better for us, that fulfills all the needs we thought we had in a way that keeps us safe and keeps us in the center of his will. So God will provide for us. He'll protect us. Give us this day, Lord, what we need. And forgive us our sins. For we also forgive everyone who sins against us. I think everybody knows that sin is an old archery term, is an athletic term. It didn't originally mean this and that list of things you're not supposed to do, but it's an archery term referring to missing the mark. Lord, I've missed the mark. I miss the mark on a regular basis. Forgive me, God, for missing the mark. And you know, that mark that we're missing may not be the same day by day and year by year. We should be getting better and closer at reaching our goals on a day-by-day basis. And if you like to bowl, I love to bowl. I'm not a good bowler, but I do like to bowl. And you know, when you go to the bowling alley, when you are ready to roll the ball down, the pins are all lined up, you know, usually there's a little display and there's a little red marker right where you're supposed to line your ball up. That's the exact spot. You hit that spot, whoo, you are ready for a strike. Just get it lined up right there. So you're there. Okay, let's see. Now, if I lean to this side and lift that leg up like this, I'm right in the pocket there, right there. You see, I may have started out with gutter balls. I may have started out gutter balls both sides. This time it's going to the right, that time it's going to the left. Either way, it's a gutter ball. But with practice, day by day, Lord, teach me your word. See, the word says that we confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. See, not only does he forgive us, not only does he no longer count the sin against us, he's forgotten all about it. He's forgiven us for it. We need to forgive ourselves. He's forgiven us. But not only that, he cleanses us from all unrighteousness. So, Lord, I'm cleansed. Lord, I'm restored. Lord, you are changing me day by day as I confess my sins to you and confess my sins to one another as the body of Christ. We can encourage each other and help each other along the way. So I'm confessing my sins. And Lord, you're changing my heart. Forgive me as I forgive others. who have sinned against me. We don't want to be like the unmerciful servant. Those of you know that parable, the unmerciful servant. You have someone who has been forgiven much, been forgiven years worth of wages, and then someone who owes them just a pittance they won't forgive. God says, no, evil, wrong. Now you go be jailed and pay back every cent you owe if you won't forgive. See, we need to forgive those who sin against us. That's part of the package. Lord, you're forgiving me. Lord, I forgive others. Day by day, people are going to do things that you're not going to like. Day by day, they're going to do stuff that's wrong to you. You need to forgive them day by day. Some of you remember the picture that's painted of a way of really torturing murderers back in the day. And what would happen is they would literally tie the body of the person that had been murdered to the murderer. And that person had to walk around with a dead, decaying body on their back. Now you can imagine what that does to the person who's carrying around that decaying, festering body day by day. What happens is that the disease that occurs seeps into the healthy tissue. So the person who's been healthy, they're carrying around this decayed body, their body becomes decayed. See, that's a picture of what it looks like to not forgive. You've got this dead thing tied to you. When you don't forgive, that dead thing is tied to you. That infection is infecting you. That decay is causing you to decay. We need to cut that thing loose. Let it go. Let it go. Get it off your back. Get it off your shoulder. Let it go. Unloose it from yourself. Forgive. See, I'm not holding you anymore. That's what forgiveness means. I'm not holding you anymore. You don't owe me. It's done. Forgiven doesn't mean you didn't do it. Doesn't mean it wasn't wrong. Doesn't mean it didn't hurt me. But I no longer hold you as a result. I've let you go. You're free. Because I understand that if I don't do that, then that decay is going to stay on my body. It only hurts me. It only hurts each of us to not forgive. You know, there are times when we haven't forgiven someone. That person, they're on their merry way. They don't have a care in the world. They're fine. You haven't forgiven them. You're the one who's going through stress. You're the one going through anguish. You're the one pulling your hair out. You're the one getting ulcers. You're the one suffering. Why? Because there's a dead thing tied to you. We got to let it go. God's going to speak to us. See, as we spend time in his prayer, in his presence, he brings these things to our mind. Lord, where have I missed the mark? What do I need to ask you for forgiveness for? You promised to cleanse me. God, am I holding anybody? If I'm holding anyone, I'm letting them go. I forgive, God, as an act of my will. Doesn't mean the emotions are going to be there right away. That's okay. You don't have to feel like you want to go take the person to lunch. You don't have to be their best friend all of a sudden. But you no longer hold them. They no longer owe you. You cancel the debt. That's it. Forgive. So Lord, as God brings that to our attention, God, I forgive everyone who sinned against me. And lead us not into temptation. God wants to lead us into on a righteous path, a path of righteousness and peace. And see, he says to them now, suppose one of you has a friend and he goes to him at midnight and says, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread because a friend of mine has come to me. I have nothing to set before him. And the answer is, don't bother me. I'm already in my house. My children are with me. I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, though, He will not get up and give him the bread because he is his friend, yet because of the man's boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be opened. You know, the scripture says, and this is the confidence we have, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if he hears us, we have the petition that we've asked of him. You see, we can be confident that when we ask according to God's will, he hears what we've said. And if he hears what we've said, he'll answer us. But we need to be bold in our asking. We need to be bold in our pursuit of God's will for us. We need to be bold in our pursuit of the requests according to his will. You know, some of us have had the occasion to be bold for something that we really need or really want. I know there are times when I've had to deal with a creditor, and I want the creditor to give me a specific term on my loan repayment. Maybe some of you have been there. This is what I want. I want this to be restructured in this way. Do you know that you can sometimes call and get a person on the other end of the line that's not receptive to your request? I know I made a call once, and the woman literally, she almost laughed in my face. She was like, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know where you think you're coming from. You just have the completely wrong idea about how this thing works. It just doesn't work that way. You just can't ask for that. What's your problem? Are you insane? That's basically the way she was acting towards me. Are you nuts, lady? So I said, okay, well, thank you very much. That's what I said. Hung up the phone. I called back. Yes. Maybe an hour later. Got somebody else on the other side, on the other end of the line. Gave them the same request. The one that the woman had said, are you nuts? Are you crazy? I don't know what planet you're on. I don't know where you're coming from. There's no way we could ever do that. This person's like, oh yeah, no problem. When do you want to start that restructure? That sounds good to me. You see, you got to be bold sometimes. You got to stop taking no for an answer. Sometimes God wants us to continue to pursue, continue to ask, continue to seek, continue to knock. If there's something that he's spoken to you, you believe this is God's will, keep pursuing it. Don't let every obstacle stop you. Don't let every no turn you around. Keep going. If God's promised it, he'll fulfill it for you. But you gotta be bold. You gotta be persistent. You gotta keep knocking. You gotta keep asking. There's a continual action that's here. It's not just a one-time thing. Ask once, seek once. You ever have somebody, you ask them to go get something for you? Oh, it's right there on the coffee table. Can you just go get my glasses for me? Usually this is with a kid. Oh, you know, could you just please go get my glasses? They're right on the coffee table. Just go in. They're right there on the coffee table. Here they come back. I didn't find them. Did you look? They're right there. All you have to do is look. You see, that was like a half-hearted effort on your part. You need to be persistent about this thing. I'm going to find those glasses. I don't care what it takes. If it takes me all afternoon, I'm going to find those things. You see, when you have a goal in mind, you'll pursue it with some passion, with some fervor, with some persistence, with some drive, with some determination. That's mine. This is what God has promised. This is what he wants to do. I'm going to be about his business. I'm not going to let a simple no stand in my way. One person doesn't like it. I'm going to turn around. No. But I'm going to pursue what God has for me. Persistence, because if I continue to knock, if I continue to ask, if I continue to find, to seek, the door is going to be open for me. And see, as we close out this morning, the scripture says, which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? He gives the Holy Spirit to those who ask. We need the Holy Spirit to fill us continually, every day. And we just have to ask for the Holy Spirit. And the Lord's promised to give us the Holy Spirit. You know, Jesus told his disciples to wait until they'd been imbued with power from on high. Holy Spirit. There's a power that God wants us to operate in, the Holy Spirit. He's given a gift to us, the Holy Spirit. And we can have him, the Holy Spirit, in our lives. We can have him fill us up with his presence every day if we ask. So let's ask for the Holy Spirit. We're going to spend more time, not today, but looking at being filled and looking at the gifts that God gives us, the fruit of his Spirit. We need that love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The fruit of the Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit operating in our lives. You see, it's not in our own strength that we continue to pursue. The kingdom of God is advancing, but it's not in human strength. It's by the strength of the Holy Spirit. The kingdom of God is forcefully advancing. But it's up to us to ask for the Holy Spirit day by day. Lord, fill me. I received your Holy Spirit when I became your child. Your Holy Spirit is within me. But God, fill me up with your Holy Spirit so that I'm equipped. Give me all that I need. Let's just stand this morning. And let's just bow our heads. Just in reverence for God. Lord, you're awesome. God, you're worthy to receive all praise. Lord, we exalt you in this place. We acknowledge that you're sovereign. We acknowledge that you're the Alpha and the Omega. Oh God, we bless your name. You're worthy, Lord, to receive all praise, all honor, all glory. We magnify you, O God. You're holy. You are set apart. There's none like you, O God. We bless your name in this place, O God. And just raise your hands this morning, just in an act of reverence to God and an attitude of submission to him. Let's just ask the Lord, God, give me today what I need. Lord, I need your daily bread. Lord, you promised to give us all that we need. There's no lack in you, O Lord. So God, meet every need. Forgive, Lord, us for our sins. And let's just pledge today to forgive those who sinned against us. If there's someone that you're holding, let them go. As we're before the Lord, just say, Lord, I let them go. I forgive, God. They're tied to me no longer. I forgive the debt. I cancel it, God. because of what you've done for me. You've forgiven me so much. Lord, I forgive. And let's just ask the Lord to fill us anew with his Holy Spirit. Lord, just fill us with your Spirit, we pray. In each life, Lord, fill with your Spirit. Fill to overflowing, God, with your Spirit. This is a precious gift, Lord, you've given to your children to empower us, God, to do your will. So fill each one, Lord, with your Spirit. Just ask him. Ask the Lord. Fill me, Lord, with your Holy Spirit. That's all we have to do is ask him to fill us. He promises to do so. It's his will to do so. Ask him to fill you. Fill you anew. Fill you afresh with his Holy Spirit. Thank you, God, what you're doing. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we just thank you this morning for your people. We thank you, Lord, for your love for them. We thank you for your presence here. We thank you, God, for your promises that are true, that are yes and amen for each of us, oh God. Thank you, Lord, for each one that you filled today anew with your Holy Spirit. God, thank you for the power that's operating within us, Lord, to do your will. Keep and sustain, Lord, each one. We thank you for doing it, God. Thank you for forgiving us for our sins. Thank you, Lord, for freeing us from holding others. Thank you, Lord, for leading us along your righteous path. Lord, we give your name all the honor and the praise for doing it. In thanksgiving, Lord, we bless your name. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Just embrace your brother and sister this morning. We thank God for all that he's doing in the house. Hallelujah.
You've been listening to Sunday Life, a radio and podcast program of Life Church in Boston. We hope you've enjoyed your flight. As we prepare to land, please leave the belt of truth buckled around your waist and keep your life in an upright position. If you would like to support this program, or if you simply want more information about Life Church, please visit our website at lifechurchboston.org. As you go on with your day, please remember, Jesus commanded us to go and make disciples of all nations. Please put what you've just heard into practice in your own life, then teach it to others and watch God's kingdom take off around you. We'll be right back.